The lightning was becoming ferociously brilliant.
One of the women who brings us food said there was a big storm brewing. She was part Navajo, and said she could feel it.
Could be right. The night doesn't feel good. Too quiet. Too sticky.
The trader took a last draw on his cigar and flicked the glowing bud into the river, where it vanished silently. The chance came next morning. McMurtry wandered over to watch the crews of wags going through their daily ritual of checking and cleaning all blasters under the eyes of JB. The Vilsec man was wearing a faded blue sweatshirt with a slogan printed on it that was barely legible, Olympic Ass-Kicking Team. Ryan and the trader were standing together near the big front wheels of War Wag 1. They turned at the approach of the Sec man.
How you guys doing?
Doing fine. How's the Harley?
Real good. Going out on it at noon. Sharona's off on one of her painting gigs. Baron wants the two of us with her in case the skins get a taste to pick her off.
Painting? You mean like making up pictures?
Sure. We don't go far. Baron wouldn't let her. Old ranch near the water at Abiquiu.
I sure wouldn't mind getting out of this damn place for a few hours myself. Think the Baron would mind if I came along with you?
Hell no. Can you ride a two-wheel?
Yeah. The woman ride a two-wheel?
Shit. That bitch can ride anything. Or anyone.
When Ryan went out to join McMurtry, the trader came with him, patting him on the shoulder.
Don't lose sight of where you're going out with the woman. It's a dirty job, my friend, but someone has to do it.
I'll close my eyes and think about you and the war wags.
The Baron came out of his living quarters and joined them as they reached McMurtry by the four motorcycles.
Understand you'll be joining the art school outing, Carter.
Going along for the ride, Baron.
The words were no sooner out of his mouth than he wished he'd avoided the word ride, bearing in mind McMurtry's lewd comment about Sharona Carson.
There's not been any trouble with Indians up that way for some time, but you all keep your eyes open. Return if there's any suggestion of harm.
Ryan glanced at the machines they'd be riding. McMurtry had his Harley. The other Sec man, called Smitty, was a long-haired, bearded man, carrying 40 pounds excess around the guts. His bike was a much-rebuilt Suzuki. Ryan had an antique English Norton 350 Twin, its chrome winking in the patchy sunlight. Sharona Carson had a chopped Harley, which had been converted into a trike with raked sissy bars, and had a small two-wheeled trailer at the rear. At that moment, the lady herself appeared and posed briefly on the shadowed porch before striding across the patterned sand toward them. Ryan had once been shown a page from a frail, crackling women's fashion magazine, which had shown a skinny, elegant woman dressed in a bizarre fantasy of how someone imagined pretty Indian girls looked. Sharona Carson seemed to have decked herself out on the basis of something remarkably similar. Her hair was braided, with tiny beads and semi-precious stones knotted among the strands so that it constantly twinkled. A pair of smoked glasses hid her eyes. A pale lilac scarf was tied around her throat, chosen, Ryan figured, to match her invisible eyes. Her jacket of golden leather was unzipped, showing a low-cut blouse of silver satin. The fringed skirt in light cream suede fell just above the knee. Soft boots in matching suede, low-heeled, fitted just above the knee.
Looks like a barrel of Jack, Ryan.
Yeah. Dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
They set off in convoy. McMurtry was in the lead, with Sharona immediately behind him. Ryan came third, grateful for the goggles and scarf that JB had pressed on him. Smitty, his two-wheeler coughing spasmodically, brought up the rear. The highway was straight and clear leading north, but the mountains had disappeared behind towering chem clouds of purple. All four of the bikes were fitted with heavy-duty rib tires for off-trail riding. Every now and then, the blacktop was in such poor condition that Ryan was thankful that they possessed them. He enjoyed the ride, in spite of the bouncing and jarring. And despite having to detour around earth slips or fallen trees or washouts, they still made excellent time. They reached the outskirts of the abandoned, scattered village of Abiquiu in less than 2 hours. They were surrounded by outcrops of twisted rock, layered in a dazzling variety of colors, ranging from a soft, muted gray to vivid pinks and oranges. Millennia of wind and rain had tormented the cliffs, producing sculptured forms that even Ryan could recognize had their own bizarre beauty. Smitty Suzuki began to give more trouble, its coughing growing worse.
Mother's blowing too fucking hot! Hold on!
He pulled off to the side of the road near a clump of stunted sycamores. The others all rolled to a halt. Sharona looked back over her shoulder.
We're nearly at the ruins of the old ghost ranch where I want to do some painting. Mac, you stay with Smitty and get his hog fixed up. Me and the Outlander will go up the trail and stop there.
No, best we stick together.
No, time's wasting.
But the Baron said...
I know what he said, Mac, but we're so close now.
Ryan, standing astride the big Norton, was just glad to have the weight off his backside for a few blissful minutes.
Shouldn't take more than a half an hour for it to cool down some.
Smitty got off the two-wheel wag and kicked the stand into place.
Come on, Mac. We all got blasters. Any sign of trouble and I'll shoot off a couple of rounds and y'all can come a-running.
Well, all right.
Come on, Ryan. See you two in a while.
Take care.
Just for a moment, Ryan wondered whether the parting shout was directed at Sharona or both of them. Or just him. The cliffs rose gently to their left. The air was stifling, but there was now a breath of roasting breeze coming from the northeast, where the sky was looming black over the Sangre de Cristo range. Sharona throttled back as the tumbled ruins of an old ranch appeared close ahead of them. A weather vane, its metal perch grotesquely rusted, creaked in the rising wind. Dry as ancient bones, the fallen remnants of stock fences lay scattered everywhere. The roof had long gone off the adobe house, but the walls were still secure. At one end, there was a solid extension, looking newer, with a workmanlike roof still in place. It was a beautiful and picturesque place, and Ryan found his imagination stirred by it, wondering for a passing moment what life must have been like in such an idyllic location, before the long winters took the land by the throat. Sharona swung off her chopped trike, kicked the stand into place, and stretched her arms high above her head.
Lord, but I'm stiffer than a grizzly's dick.
Ryan also dismounted the Norton, relieved at the peace.
Want me to give you a hand with that painting stuff?
No, Ryan. I want you to give me some good loving with that port mortar you got tucked in your pants. And I mean now. We got a half hour tops, and then those two lame-brained dickheads will be riding in to protect the Baron's possessions. Let's go inside. No, not the main house. That's long fucked. The storeroom. Come on. There's a mattress and some emergency rations there.
Ryan rode with it. He consoled himself with the thought that he was, after all, merely obeying the orders of the traitor. Sharona left the door ajar so they could listen for the approach of the bikes, even though the fast-rising wind was already drowning out the sound of the river. As he stepped inside, Ryan caught a last glimpse of the sky to the northwest, and the sight made him hesitate.
What's wrong?
That storm. Coming this way faster than a jackrabbit with his ass on fire.
Yeah, it'll blow over.
I don't know. Those clouds are boiling. Look at them.
The massive nukings of the last and final war had not only had a terrible effect upon the face of the planet, it had permanently upset the balance of the world's climate. Now there were storms throughout the American continent that were more devastating than any prior to Skydark. Ryan had experienced many of them during his life, but he'd never seen a sky quite like the one that was menacing them now. Far above the cloud layers was a line of startlingly vivid silver, and this seemed to be giving birth to a constant cascade of lightning, great spears and sheets of forked lace that dazzled the darkness. It was impossible to make out where sky and mountains were conjoined because of boiling dust. The clouds themselves were mainly purple to black, but they were streaked with fiery crimson and slashes of a wicked green.
I told you, it'll blow over. Come on, lover, let's get comfortable.
She turned to Ryan, standing so close that he was enveloped in the musky scent of her perfume, combined with the feral odor of her sweat. Sharona reached out and allowed her fingers to brush gently across the front of his pants.
My, I feel a storm rising somewhere else.
Ryan decided that afternoon that he really didn't like having the initiative taken away from him during lovemaking. It was good and exciting to find a woman who was as enthusiastic as Sharona Carson, but she only really wanted it on her terms, her way, when and how she wanted it. The first time was standing up, her beaded hair rattling against the adobe wall behind her.